Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're presented in our gospel today with basically two ways that people can view themselves. Either you view yourself highly or you view yourself lowly. Do you view yourself highly or lowly? What would you say? To view yourself highly means you think you deserve to be honored before God and men. We might use the word haughty to describe such a person. Now, if you were paying attention this week, you saw this attitude of thinking highly of oneself on display as a big part of our country heard the news of the president's COVID diagnosis. And what was the response? Many people looked down their noses at the president and hoped that he would die. Some people laughed, some people mocked, others came right out and said, "I hope he dies, he deserves it." Another comment that I read was just as disturbing: zero sympathy. Now, why do people react that way? Well, hatred ultimately is behind it, and the demons are behind that. But people react that way because they think of themselves highly, as being far better, far more godly, far more honorable than the President of the United States. He deserves to be humbled while they deserve to be exalted. Now, on the other side, on the conservative side, you may not see as much of that kind of hatred directed toward the other side, although sometimes you may. What you may see on the conservative side is more people being appalled at such a reaction of hatred and hoping people die, and rightly so. But watch out, because what's the natural reaction to such hatred? Well, those terrible people, how could they be so hateful? I certainly would never hope death on anyone. I'm much better than those people. And you see, the high, haughty view of oneself has simply taken another form. Well, then there is the lowly view of oneself. To view yourself lowly doesn't mean you don't recognize bad behavior where you see it. And it doesn't mean that you think you're worthless. It means you aren't thinking about yourself at all. You aren't thinking about how honorable you are, about being honored by anyone, by God or by man, but only about how you might serve and honor both God and man. We might use the word humble to describe such a person, humble in the biblical sense. What a difference in perspective. And what a difference your perspective will make. It will have an enormous impact on how you behave toward God and man. And ultimately, it will mean the difference between being eternally condemned and eternally saved. In the words of Jesus, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Let's meditate on God's word this morning and consider the end of the haughty and of the humble. The whole gospel takes place on a Sabbath day at a Sabbath meal to which Jesus had been invited by a prominent Pharisee. There are two parts to the gospel, the healing of the man with dropsy and then Jesus' parable about the invited guests. But both parts really teach us the same lesson about haughtiness and humility. The meal took place at the home of that Pharisee, and we're told that the invitation wasn't out of the goodness of the Pharisee's heart. It says they were watching Jesus closely, not watching him to learn from him, not watching him to see how they might serve him, but watching him in order to find a way to condemn him, watching him as those who were above him. That's an example of haughtiness on their part, a view of themselves that was high because they viewed themselves as law keepers, guardians of the law, champions of tradition, men who deserved to be honored by God and by man for how good they were. But Jesus exposes their haughtiness, their high view of themselves, with a simple question. As he saw that man with dropsy before him, the painful swelling of the legs, he asked, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Well, you know, he asked because many times the Pharisees had already been condemning Jesus for healing people on the Sabbath, as if he were breaking the Sabbath commandment to rest on the Sabbath day by doing that work of healing. So he asks the question so that they can give him an outright answer. Is it lawful to help your fellow man, your fellow Israelite who is suffering, if you have the power to help him on the Sabbath day? And their silence spoke volumes. Of course, it was lawful. The Sabbath law requiring rest on the Sabbath day didn't prevent helping a man in his time of need, and they knew it. And Jesus proved that they knew it by putting that other question to them. Which of you, if your ox or donkey fell into a pit, would not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day? They all would. But they said nothing because they weren't thinking about helping their neighbor. They weren't even thinking about obeying the Sabbath law. And they didn't want to say anything that might make Jesus look good, because that would make them look bad. They were thinking only about themselves and how to preserve their own honor and reputation. And that way of thinking prevented them from doing good toward God and man. But Jesus, on the other hand, the very Son of God who deserves glory and honor from all men, wasn't thinking about himself at all. He was thinking only of God, his Father, who had sent him to earth to bring glory to his Father's name. And he was thinking about the man who was suffering with his illness and needed help. And he was thinking about the Pharisees who were there, how he might open their eyes to see their own sins so that they might look to him and be saved. That's humility. That's meekness. It's the humility that God seeks in all of us and yet doesn't find as he should. And so there was Christ, showing perfect humility in our place as our substitute. As a result, his humility now forms part of the righteousness that covers all who believe in Christ. In the second part of our gospel, Jesus picks up this theme of haughtiness versus humility. He watched as the guests at the dinner chose the places of honor for themselves at the table, the highest, most important seats they could find. Why? Because they thought they deserved to be honored by the host of the dinner and by their fellow guests. So Jesus spoke a parable to them. And notice that Luke calls it a parable. It's not just a bit of advice for how to behave at a wedding reception. He was teaching them a deeper lesson about haughtiness and humility before God and the consequences of each. When you are invited by someone to a wedding, do not sit down in the place of honor. Otherwise, if someone more honorable than you has been invited by the host, the one who invited you both may come and say to you, "Give this man your place." Then with shame you will proceed to take the last place. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You may think pretty highly of yourself. You may think you deserve something, something more than other people. You may think you deserve a place of honor. But it isn't your opinion that counts, is it? It's the one who invited you. It's the host's opinion that counts. He's the one who gets to judge, to decide. And knowing God, as we do, He doesn't like it when people think highly of themselves, when people think they deserve to be honored by Him. It's very likely that when He comes and sees you've chosen a place of honor for yourself, He'll strip you of your self-assumed honor and send you away in shame. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, Jesus says. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit down in the last place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will have honor in front of all those who are sitting at the table with you. Go sit down in the last place. In other words, when God invites you into His church, acknowledge before God that you are a sinner who deserves nothing from Him but temporal and eternal punishment. It's part of the words of our confession every week. If you're paying attention, you're confessing it every week. But at the same time, trust in Him to deal with you according to His mercy, not according to what you deserve. Go and sit down in the last place. That is, don't for a moment consider your worth in relation to other people. Don't consider yourself at all. In humility, look away from yourself and look to Christ. For whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Such a view of yourself, such an attitude toward God, will lead you to focus not on how your fellow guests are treating you, but on how you might serve your fellow guests. This is what St. Paul calls on all the members of the one holy Christian and apostolic church to do. In the epistle you heard, he said, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, as he sat in chains in Rome for the preaching of the gospel, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." The calling with which you were called is the call of God through the gospel to poor, undeserving sinners to repent and believe in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross, in order that God might lift you up from condemnation to justification, from the devil's family to God's family, from darkness to light, from despair to hope. Again, not because you deserved His help, but precisely because you didn't deserve His help, and so He took pity on you. As Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "By grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast." Since that's the calling with which you were called, to walk in a manner worthy of it is to walk with the same humility and meekness you had when you acknowledged your utter worthiness before God. When you were first called to faith, lifted up by God, and brought into God's holy church. Now, as you live in this church with all its members, continue in that same humility. Continue in that same view of yourself, where you don't look for any honor for yourself, where you don't think about what you deserve, but about how you can serve your fellow Christians. Why does Paul need to write this to Christians? Because the sinful self, the old man that still clings to us, still wants to be honored, still wants to not serve, but be served. That's the flesh that clings to us. It wants to be acknowledged. It wants to be thanked. It wants to be recognized. It wants to be respected. But that's not what we've learned from Christ. From Him we've learned humility, true Christian humility, that doesn't shrink back from speaking the truth to our brother or sister, even if that truth hurts. But it speaks the truth in love. It speaks the truth as one who isn't interested in showing off or in being proved right or in appearing to be better than anyone. It speaks the truth in service to one's fellow Christian, because we know that the truth is important. The truth saves. And if we are to humble ourselves and behave in this way humbly toward our fellow Christians, then it only makes sense that we practice that same meekness in our dealings with the world, to show the world what the humility of Christ looks like by imitating Him in this world. Let people see that kind of humility and meekness in you, the lowly view of yourself and not the high view. Be different. Be separate from the world in that way. Oh, you'll still be hated by the world, even if you're perfectly humble, just as the world hated Christ, who was always perfectly humble. But just as He was exalted in the end by the Father, so will all those be who followed in His steps. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Therefore, as St. Peter writes, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.